Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's afternoon news, 720 WGN. I think most people formed an opinion about this subject after watching Leah Thomas swim. And now everybody seems to have an opinion. I can't form one on this. I just don't know enough. Stephanie Skora is on the phone. She is the chief operating officer of Brave Space Alliance. The World Swimming Body effectively bans transgender women from women's events. And how do you feel about that, Stephanie?
I think we're getting into a territory where it's disappointing to see international sporting bodies taking an approach to bar athletes that have trained at a world-class level all their lives to compete in some cases, single races, barring those athletes from getting the opportunity that they've worked so hard for simply because they're transgender.
And they went on to say that under the policy, transgender women must show that, quote, they have not experienced any part of male puberty beyond Tanner stage 2 or before age 12, whichever is later, a move that effectively eliminates their eligibility to compete in the women's category. Tanner stages describe the physical changes people undergo during puberty. So people in the trans community are saying that this effectively eliminates any trans women from participating. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, that's correct. I think, you know, most transgender individuals who have access to the resources and the medical care necessary to make a medical transition do not have that access at a young age. A vast, vast majority. Now, there aren't any percentages because the research simply has not been done on these numbers, but the vast majority of the community transitions after undergoing adolescent puberty. Now, the effects of medical transition effectively reverse that puberty. That's why medical transition is a lifelong permanent medical procedure. But there's this fixation with the initial puberty, the adolescent puberty that an individual goes through, supposedly changing their body permanently. And that is true unless you go through a secondary medical transition, which reverses those changes through hormone replacement therapy, gender confirmation surgery, and a number of other procedures as well.
So, Stephanie, you're the Chief Operating Officer of Brave Space Alliance. Tell everybody what that is and what you do.
Yes, Brave Space Alliance is the Southside LGBTQ Center. We are a Black and trans-led organization working to address inequities and lack of services for LGBTQ people on the South and West sides. We serve the entire LGBTQ community, but a lot of our programs are focused on Black and brown transgender individuals because we know when the most marginalized people in our community get their needs met, everybody is going to benefit.
Stephanie, I'm the parent of a transgender daughter, so this is very important to me. But what would be the solution here? Because it seems as if Leah would not have competed at this level had she not been transgender. And so I'm not sure, this is very different from passing these state laws against children who aren't trying to compete now anyway for, you know, doing it just for political reasons. This had real results, and you can see them. What would be your solution?
Well, I think, you know, it's really important to interrogate that premise because actually if you look at Leah Thomas's numbers, she got slower after she transitioned. You know, Leah Thomas, when she was not competing as a woman back prior to her transition, when she was competing as a man, was a swimmer of a similar caliber in men's swimming. And when you take a look at her times, when you take a look at her athletic record, when you take a look at her performance, she was still able to compete at a high level because she is an accomplished athlete, but she slowed down. She stopped winning as many races. And her performance declined after her medical transition. This is not something that gave her an advantage in women's sports. If anything, her natural athletic ability is what allowed her to maintain her ability to compete at a high level, but her performance decreased vis-a-vis her results when she was competing with men.
Men's swimming records typically are faster than women's, though, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So if she slowed from her men's numbers, she still would be pretty fast. I don't want to have this debate with you because I'm on your side mostly, but I just don't know what the right approach is here.
Yeah, I think everybody is kind of in a gray area. It's like, what do we do? And are you advocating, Stephanie, that we just let it be and continue as is, or I don't know. What do you suggest?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, I think obviously there are all sorts of existing medical tests that world-class athletes have to go through in order to be eligible to compete at the highest level. And every athlete, regardless of their gender, should be subjected to the same medical examination as everybody else. But when it comes to trans athletes, there are so few competing at all, and there are even fewer competing at the highest levels of their sport. We do not see any evidence in the data, anecdotally, or even on the field, or I guess in this case, in the water, of transgender athletes having an unfair advantage versus their cisgender counterparts. You know, Leah Thomas is, you know, performing extremely well, but she's not out here winning every single race. She's losing regularly to cisgender athletes, especially in races that she doesn't specialize in. So I think the evidence is there to suggest that there is absolutely no harm to allowing transgender athletes to compete at levels at which they qualify, as long as they're subjected to the same medical testing as everybody else.
But it looks like it's going to be a hard sell, not only to the general public, but as you know, to these governing bodies when it comes to sporting events. So quickly, we just got a minute left, and I don't want to ignore Chicago. So it is Pride Month. What are the biggest issues facing brown and black people, people of color in the LGBTQ community on the South Side where you serve for Brave Alliance?
Brave Space Alliance.
Yeah, gotcha.
I think the biggest issues are housing insecurity and poverty. Trans individuals face systemic discrimination at basically every level that prevents us from getting jobs, that prevents us from being stably housed, that prevents us from keeping food on the table. And so many members of our community do not have their basic needs met, which leads to other problems. You know, if you don't have a roof over your head, if you don't have food on your table, it makes your physical and mental health worse, and it makes it harder to do anything else in your life beyond attempt to take care of those basic needs.
And will representatives from Brave Space Alliance be in the parade?
We will indeed.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, and I applaud you for working on those issues for people in your community.
Thanks so much.
Steve has your news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.